Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello! Hello! Hey! Pay attention to the manager.
Hello! Before we begin this episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, a quick announcement that we are running for an award. Yes, an award. Don't worry, you don't need to do much, but we do need your help. Check out our website, ManchesterUnitedWeeklyPodcast.com, for more details on how to vote for us as Best Football Podcast in the Football Blogging Awards, or just tweet this phrase. I am voting for @UTDWeeklyPod as Best Football hashtag podcast in @TheFBAs. Cheers, everyone. On with the show. Hello, hello, welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. I'm Harry Robertson, and this week I'm alone today with Jack settling into university in America. We'll be discussing the Manchester Derby, of course, a 2-1 loss, but surprisingly non-disheartening. We'll also look ahead to a busy week with United in action on Thursday and Sunday, as well as our regular youth and loan roundup. So, let's start with the Manchester Derby, and it was surprisingly I didn't have that gutting feeling, and I was at the game, and most of the people around me, you felt obviously upset and obviously slightly gutted with the fact that we couldn't quite get the equaliser nor the winner. But there wasn't that feeling of last season. To be honest, I'd probably feel more upset at us drawing to or losing to West Ham last season, or drawing to Southampton, or losing to Southampton, or losing to Bournemouth than I did at losing the Manchester Derby. And I think that says something for the impact that Mourinho and our new signings have had. A clear intention to try and get the draw and the win, and attacking prowess showed at points and multiple chances to make it 2-2. It's so much more of a positive feeling that you come away with. Where else can you start but the awful first 35, 40 minutes? Manchester City, genuinely brilliant in that spell, but given far too much space by us, although the quality they showed was impressive and scary. The main issue, we'll move on to the refereeing display in a moment. The main issue, just positional discipline from multiple players was awful, and Paul Pogba perhaps the worst of this offence. Playing in a two-man midfield, both supposedly defensive midfielders, and Pogba's positional discipline was awful. And so many times he'd drift over to the left where he would be in a three-man midfield playing on the left. And he's spoken of his desire to play in the left of a three-man midfield, and perhaps we're going to have to accommodate that. I think we should accommodate that. More on that in a second. But it wasn't just Pogba, Daily Blind as well. Eric Bailly was pretty poor positionally as well. If you check my Twitter timeline, @HarryRobinson64, I retweeted a video from Jamie Carragher on Pogba's ill-discipline in relation to positioning. Rooney seems essential to Mourinho, and I see why, because he's a captain, he's one of the longest-serving players, and Carrick's not playing. and it would be a very new side without Rooney in it. I think his role should be reduced in part, maybe play less games. Not, you know, although he's captain, I don't think he has to play every game. Rooney is essential to Mourinho, as he showed. It's difficult to fit him in a 4-3-3, but although he might not like it, he was on the right wing for the second half after Marcus Rashford and Ander Herrera came on in a 4-3-3, and that seemed to work. He created probably two or three chances in the second half. Probably not as effective as he is in other positions in the pitch, but Rooney's effectiveness is pretty low at the moment anyway. And on the right wing, is it that much of a percentage drop in his effectiveness? No. So we could end up with Rooney on the right wing of a 4-3-3, allowing Pogba the freedom, despite having defensive duties, he has the freedom to move forward on the left side of a 4-3-3. And that is the most exciting thing he adds. That's the best thing he adds. And that's the reason he costs 89 million. So is it worse to shift Rooney out or shift Pogba out? Who's going to be more effective in their natural position? It's going to be Paul Pogba. So I think we should move Rooney out to the right, or as many people have suggested, drop Rooney, although I don't think he should be completely got rid of, and allow Pogba the freedom to express his attacking abilities on the left side of a 4-3-3, because he knows that in a 4-3-3, in a three-man midfield, he's got the cover, and perhaps we'll see Pogba, Fellaini, Herrera, or even Pogba, Fellaini, Carrick. And Carrick offers a great deal of cover to Pogba to allow him to add something huge in attack. Other poor points before we move on to some more positive things. Daily Blind, extremely poor. One thing, I mean, at fault for both the goals in ways, although there were a multitude of issues that led to both goals. I think the criticism of Daily Blind is in some ways fair. He was one of the worst players on the pitch in that opening 40 minutes. Allowed Kevin De Bruyne far too much space. He should lead Eric Bailly in that defence. Eric Bailly adjusting to the Premier League and a new player at Manchester United. Daily Blind having played there for an entire season at centre-back. He should be offering... And Daily Blind is an incredibly intelligent footballer. He should be guiding Eric Bailly on his positioning. And his positioning should be better. And Daily Blind's... I watched the highlights on Sky, and Gary Neville's commentary as Kevin De Bruyne opened the scoring was, I don't know what Daily Blind's doing there, in classic G-Nev style. And it's completely right. It's unexplainable to, firstly, let the ball bounce, and then just watch it past you. And then he stood there waiting for De Bruyne to go one-on-one with De Gea, instead of running back and trying to make the last-ditch tackle, which we saw Eric Bailly do a few times. So Blind extremely poor, but I think the level of consistency that we saw last season, and he's been all right this season except in this game, the complete disregard of Daily Blind's ability as a footballer is pretty poor from United fans, and I think we should show him a little more respect, because after one poor game, he doesn't deserve the abuse he's been getting and the complete criticism of his entire footballing ability that we've seen. Yes, it was a really poor defensive display from Blind, but so many times last season he was our man of the match or one of the best players on the pitch, and at the end of the season, had it not been for Martial and Rashford and arguably De Gea, he'd probably be the fourth best player of the season. And yes, it was in a pretty poor season, but he was one of our best players last season, so I think we should show him a little more respect. Antonio Valencia's positioning, although it's less obvious to see as Daily Blind's, was pretty poor as well. Valencia, there was a whole plethora of issues relating to positioning, and when you have so many players out of position, you start to question whether it's simply the players or if it links back to Mourinho's tactics. And yes, he admitted it got it wrong, but I just thought it seems a little early to be criticising tactics and to be overly critical. But I think Mourinho's tactics and team selection at the start of the game were poor. Fellaini out of position, allowing too much space on the, I think it was the right hand side, and he combined with Valencia to allow huge amounts of space for City on their left flank, our right flank. Mkhitaryan, shocking decision from Mourinho. I was excited at the start of the game to see him in the team, but I didn't know the extent of Mkhitaryan's injury. So I was excited at seeing him in the starting line. Mourinho should know, or should be aware of the extent of the injury, far more than us as fans. And given a report suggests that he's now set to have an MRI scan to check on that injury that he picked up with Armenia during the international break, it just seems ridiculous to start him in such a huge game. And it's not just that. It's not like last season where we'd play, say we played Martial last season with, if he was carrying an injury, that would slightly make sense because he was so important to us. Mkhitaryan hasn't been playing this season. Yes, he put in a very good performance against Hull City and therefore deserved to start, but it's not as if he's been vital this season or so far this season. And it's not like we don't have other options. Marcus Rashford could have started. He had a brilliant impact. We'll talk about that in a second. Anthony Martial available, Memphis Depay available. Yes, probably not brilliant, but I mean, Mkhitaryan was very poor and Memphis would have been better than that. Even Ashley Young would have been better than that, particularly defensively. So it seems a very poor decision from Mourinho and the two bads, Mourinho and Pogba and certainly Mkhitaryan, who, if he wasn't injured, terrible, terrible game. Moving on to the positives, a little point for Wayne Rooney. Loss of possession was very poor, far too lackadaisical, complacent with his passing at times, but he did create our three best chances. So credit to him for that. Firstly, he created Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goal, crossing into Claudio Bravo, who had a mare to our delight. He created Zlatan's chance when he headed straight into Bravo's hands. Probably should have scored there. And moments later, when he had three chances in about 3 minutes at the end of the first half, he also created the chance where Zlatan should have taken a touch just before half time and then shot, and he shot into an open goal, and he would have scored had he taken a touch and pulled the trigger. Instead, he pulled the trigger straight away, and it was a weak shot. The overall positive is that I didn't come out of that game completely gutted, because I saw some positives. I saw some attacking football, and that is one of the most exciting Manchester United games I've seen for about 4 or 5 years. Absolutely thrilling. One of the best Premier League games we've seen for a couple of years. The quality wasn't incredibly good, and the reason that we were allowed to succeed were issues from City, and the reason they were allowed to succeed were issues from us. But the entertainment that game provided is a great advert for the Premier League. So that's what we can take positively. And then refereeing decisions. Claudio Bravo, I think, was definitely a red card. Jack, who's away today, so can't argue his corner here, which is good for me, said it wasn't a red card nor a penalty, because only one foot went in and it wasn't off the ground. But I think Clattenburg was poor for both sides, but the biggest decision for either side was Bravo, and that's the main one he got wrong. I think it was a penalty. Stud showing is a bit of an irrelevant thing, but foot up, straight up, sliding in, very slightly off the ground, whereas Rooney, if you watch in slow motion, pulls out at the last minute. So he's not in the wrong. Otamendi's penalty shout, Mourinho said it was a penalty. I can see why that wasn't given more than the Bravo one. It's definitely not obvious that he deliberately went to handball. So a disappointing result, but definitely positive signs and definite areas to improve on. Particularly that there's going to be great debate if we come to another defeat in coming weeks with Pogba starting in two-man midfield, regarding the formation, and hopefully we'll see Mourinho move to a 4-3-3 formation instead of a 4-2-3-1, which we're currently playing. And Marcus Rashford, that boy is sensational. And the amount, even just the introduction, he warmed up at about 35 minutes, and the lift he gives to the stadium, we were 2-0 down by that point. The lift that this 18-year-old gives to Old Trafford is incredible. Just entirely got the crowd going again, and we weren't quite for long, but just slightly disheartened by going 2-0 down, and Rashford's warming up on the touchline, and suddenly everyone has this positivity again, and then he comes on for the second half, I think probably 15 or 16 seconds in, he turns someone on the touchline, creates a chance with a little lovely chipped cross, which Zlatan skied over, I think, and then the offside goal. Beautiful footwork again, in part similar to his Derby goal last season, and he was coming off the back of a hat-trick for England's under-21s on his debut. Perhaps we should just give him debuts all the time, but seriously, a genuinely brilliant performance from Marcus Rashford in that second half, and he's coming close to making Anthony Martial weirdly irrelevant. So another brilliant performance from Rashford. Now, while we may have lost the first team Manchester derby, it's been a good few weeks for United's youth side since we last spoke to you. Kieran McKenna an extremely well-regarded youth coach, has joined from Spurs to become under-18 manager at United. Tommy Martin had been in charge since Paul McGinnis was sacked, I think, in February. McKenna's first two games have seen United score five in both. Most recently was a 5-3 win against West Bromwich Albion, as Indy Boone and George Tanner, Angel Gomez, Tahith Chong and Aidan Barlow scored. Angel Gomez is having a stunning start to the season, scoring five league goals in four starts. Zlatan, eat your heart out. I'm hoping Gomez might get a few under-23 games this season. He's only 16, but he's immensely talented. He's one of numerous under-18s to have trained with the senior squad during pre-season and the recent international break. DJ Brufon has impressed too, earning himself an under-23 debut a few days ago against Manchester City. That was a 1-1 draw. Warren Joyce's under-23s playing at the Etihad campus. Matty Willock scored a great solo goal in the first half, but Brahim Diaz, one of City's best talents in their academy, equalised in the second half. Kieran O'Hara made a superb save in the last minute to keep it at 1-1. Just a small gripe from me. Was City charging fans to get into the under-23 game? And not only that, but tickets can be bought on the day. You have to be a member or a season ticket holder to buy tickets for the United end. Just a shambles. And tickets were £3 for adults and £1 for children. There's no need for it. It's not like they're making a huge amount of money out of that. It's just pointless. The under-23s do have a pretty weak squad at the moment. There's literally no strikers in the team. And I use literally very rarely, so I do mean literally. Warren Joyce was scathing of them a few weeks ago after a loss to Southampton. That interview post-match was live on MUTV, absolutely humiliated some of his players. Since that game, Gary Neville has been in to talk to the under-23, so hopefully that will give them a kick in the right direction. Our loanees are doing well as well. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson fared best this week out of I think it's seven loanees, earning the man of the match for a composed and impressive performance in his debut for Wolverhampton Wanderers against Burton Albion. 1-1 draw, I think they conceded late on. James Wilson played 65 minutes against Newcastle in a 2-0 loss for Derby. He's yet to prove Mourinho wrong out on low in the Championship. A few Derby fans complaining about his attitude. Dean Henderson, having been with England's under-20 side last week, was only a substitute for Grimsby Town against Luton. He'll be hoping to make his debut soon, as will Joel Pereira, who was on the bench for Belenenses in a 2-1 win against Nacional in the Portuguese Liga. Guillermo Varela unfortunately picked up a torn ankle ligament injury after about 7 minutes playing for Eintracht Frankfurt against Darmstadt. It's expected he'll be out for about 2 months. I think he's having a scan to see whether he needs surgery. Hopefully he won't and he can come back sooner, but Eintracht Frankfurt's chief executive spoke about it being a big blow for the team and for Varela. So hopefully he can come back soon. Andreas Pereira started and played the full game for Granada against Eibar in a loss for Granada against 10-man Eibar. So poor for them, but Andreas Pereira, their standout player on the pitch. Multiple chances created. He's their free kick taker at the moment. And his physicality looks much improved from last season. A bigger, more imposing figure. So hopefully he can get a full season under his belt, and he started well against Eibar, an impressive performance from him. And we're recording this just before Adnan Januzaj plays Everton for Sunderland on loan under David Moyes. He is starting the game, and hopefully he can have another good game. Now, we're quickly given a chance to make up for our Derby defeat. Feyenoord midweek our opening game of UEFA Europa League group stages. Quite a tough challenge. Feyenoord, I think, have only conceded one goal in their season so far, entirely in the Eredivisie. We do need a big response here. It'd be great to see a few goals go past Feyenoord as we hit back from that Derby defeat. And some players try to prove to Mourinho, because this is likely to be a second string side, that they should be playing in the first string side. It'll be interesting to see whether Mourinho's punishment to poor performance in the Derby is either Europa League selection or being completely dropped. We'll see how he values the Europa League. Hopefully we'll see Memphis Depay. Arguably this is his level at the moment, so could score a few and boost confidence. He could do with a few games, A, to boost his confidence, and B, to show us that some of those poor games last season weren't his average. Marcus Rashford is starting, according to Mourinho. He said this is the the biggest game coming up, and therefore Rashford will start. So it's going to be an exciting game at least, because Rashford's playing. It'll be good to see Smalling given a chance. He hasn't actually played at all this season, which is a bit unfair after a good year last year. And maybe he will get a chance now because of Daley Blind's poor performance in the derby. Morgan Schneiderlin and Anthony Martial, and possibly even Ashley Young, would also be good to see. Although Martial, Young and Memphis is unlikely. It's unlikely De Gea will be dropped for either or Johnston. Marie's one for being complacent. Timothy Fosu-Mensah are hopefully starting as well. I'm even hoping that we could see him in midfield, because his ball playing abilities and composure is clearly good enough, as is his physicality. So maybe we'll see him. But I'd assume the team will be dotted with second string players such as Memphis Depay and Morgan Schneiderlin and maybe Chris Smalling, but I don't think we're going to see wholesale changes from Marina. I think we'll still see De Gea, still see Shaw, possibly Matteo Darmian, and maybe Fantonio Valencia, but I think we'll still have a core of the side. I'd assume that Paul Pogba will continue in the starting 11, because Marina is not, I don't think, going to make complete starting 11 changes. And then after Feyenoord, which I think we'll win by 3-1, confident. After the away game at Feyenoord, we face Watford, another away game, this time in the Premier League. They just beat West Ham 4-2, coming back from 2-0 down, which is entirely satisfying, given I hate West Ham, but massive momentum boost for them, and we're away, so could be a dangerous fixture, and one definitely not to be complacent in. They are dangerous, clearly scoring 4 goals. I mean, you can't deny that they have an attacking quality. I haven't seen too much of them this season, and I haven't seen a huge amount since Kike Sanchez Flores was sacked. So can't say too much about them, but definite momentum boost for them after coming back from 2-0 down to win 4-2. That's on Sunday, by the way, because we're playing Thursday in the Europa League. Whether the teams are going to be entirely different for those two games or quite similar, we'll see. But I'm sure Mourinho isn't happy about having to play Thursday and Sunday. Well, that's all we have time for. Sorry it's been just me today, although Louis van Gaal did interject at the start. Hope you enjoyed that. Jack will be back soon, and we'll try to get some guests to make up for me droning on for a whole half an hour without anyone else. Remember to vote for us in the Football Blogging Awards, as I said at the start, by tweeting, "I am voting for @UTD Weekly Pod POD as best football hashtag podcast in @TheFBAs. That's FBAS. Your support, as always, is appreciated hugely, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Network. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.